Welcome to It's Just Life with mother-daughter combo Karen and Gia. In this podcast, we'll chat about the ups and downs of life here on planet Earth. Come along for the ride.
Hey everyone, welcome to the It's Just Life podcast. This is Karen and I'm glad you're joining us today. This is episode number 9 and we're going to have a great conversation for you today. So I'm glad you're here with us to share in it. How are you doing, Gia?
Yeah, great. Welcome back everybody. This is Gia and I'm really excited to talk about our topic today, which is something that I think we all deal with at some point or another, and that is comparing ourselves to others and how that is a slippery, dangerous slope.
Definitely. Yeah, something that I've been dealing with, well, I would say for my whole life, as long as I can remember, in various situations. So I think it's really something everyone can relate to. And then ever since I've been trying to be an entrepreneur, an author, speaker, it feels like it's really intensified for me as I'm putting myself out in public and, you know, bringing my message out to the world. It feels like the tendency to compare has gotten a lot worse for me.
Yeah, I think so. And it probably reflects on like how much you care about it and how much you desire to be successful and honored and praised for what you do, which you deserve, absolutely. And I think we tend to see other people's accomplishments and feel jealous of what they have experienced, perhaps, but we have no idea what it's really like to be in their shoes and all of the hardships that they've gone through and what challenges are present for them that might be really easy for us. That's one thing we don't realize, is something that we take for granted as being simple and easy for us is something that other people might struggle with. So I think that's an important thing to remember.
Yeah, and I think it becomes more intense perhaps when, like, we are now making ourselves vulnerable in a way as creative artists and putting our works out there for the world to accept or reject or criticize or whatever happens. And so we're in this constant state of vulnerability. And to me, it seems like I'm even more sensitive about, am I doing it right? Am I as good as other people? Am I accomplishing what I should accomplish here?
You know, what's funny, I feel like we put so much pressure on ourselves to like impress other people and have other people like our work. And ultimately we're selling it to other people. So it is important that they want it. But I think we are our own harshest critic. And we're the only one who even cares, you know, like how much we're comparing ourselves to others. Like, I think other people don't judge us in the same way that we judge ourselves. Would you say the same?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And I know for myself, I mean, just without hearing about anyone else's success or comparing myself to anyone else, I've had lots of ups and downs ever since my book came out. And, you know, a great deal of disappointment because it wasn't as popular as I had hoped it would be or thought it might be. I didn't sell as many books, but I managed to cope with that. Like, okay, this is just the path my book is on. It's all okay. And books like mine that are about the end of life are slow sellers, so I can't expect it. But then, like last year, I was interviewing a fellow author who's also a doctor who also wrote a book. And during the interview, he was telling me, wow, I just wrote this book. And like 2 weeks later, I had a publisher. And like a month after that, my book was hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And now I've sold, you know, over like 2 million copies. And I, in the middle of the interview, I was so floored and I was feeling like, so my mind like was immediately so jealous that I could hardly even remember what I needed to ask him to have a conversation, because I was consumed with like, are you kidding me? Like, what? Like, his book, The Cutest New York Times bestseller? Like, what? And I was just, it's not in any way that I put down the book that he wrote, but just the feeling of like, why? What was wrong with my book? Why couldn't that happen for me? And it was overwhelming. empowering to me to have to continue the interview and finish it when my mind was going crazy. My ego, actually, was going crazy with the jealousy and the comparison.
Yeah, and it's something that we can't figure out as much as we want to. We don't know why it happens the way it does. We don't know why your book wasn't a bestseller the second week it was out, you know, and why his was. And I think we have to know and trust. I always come back to trust. I mean, clearly that's what I'm working on. It's like the universe has a plan. And so it might not be clear why things are panning out the way they are, but you are not forgotten. You are not just being ignored, and you're not a failure. You are on track, just like, you know, as according to plan. It's just a plan you don't know about. So that's like the frustrating part.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we talked once in a previous podcast about the false belief that this is a cause and effect universe and that we should be rewarded for things that we do. And I think that is what trips me up sometimes, because I looked at, you know, I spent 12 years thinking about this book, and then I wrote it, and then I got it published, and, you know, it was so much work and so much effort, and that some part of me really believed, like, I should be rewarded then. I should be rewarded for all that work that I did, all the time I spent with hospice patients, all of the stories I gathered. Like it makes sense, especially to the ego and to our minds, that there should be a reward for that. And so I think that belief, even though spiritually, I know that it's not true. I know that's not the truth, but I think there's still an immature part of me that clings to that belief that somehow I'm going to get rewarded, things are going to be great, and I'm going to get everything I deserve for the hard work that I did.
Well, I think it's just kind of a perspective shift, because truly you are being rewarded for all the work you have done. It's just that the reward looks a little different than your ego would hope. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yes. And the ego definitely has its own list of what the rewards should be. You know, the preferred rewards, like New York Times bestseller list. Why not that? Like, that's on my list for sure.
Yeah. And it's easy to forget all of the amazing things that have happened from your book and all the people who have been touched by it and moved by it. But when your ego is clinging to this one sign of your achievement, you know, then nothing compares, and it's hard to feel like you have accomplished what you wanted to when that bestseller list or that Oprah, you know, you're not on Oprah yet, so you haven't accomplished your goal, or you haven't felt like you've really achieved what you set out to. So I think we have to, like, constantly look at those expectations and let them go and try to look at the ways in which we are being rewarded in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a recent – oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, you.
Oh.
Well, I had a recent experience with comparison that was really eye-opening for me. I am, as you may know, a singer-songwriter living in San Diego, and it's really important that I put myself out there and start getting some gigs and perform at restaurants and try to get paid gigs, like try to ask restaurants, like, hey, will you pay me to play music for the evening? And it's really up to me to kind of put myself out there and make that happen. So one thing I did was I recently met another singer-songwriter who is similar in age and in style to me and her music. And so I reached out to her. She's a really cool girl. And I was just like, hey, would you want to do a show together sometime? Because I'm thinking the two of us together, you know, with our talent and our connections combined, would be able to get some awesome gigs. And it's kind of nice to offer a gig, like two different acts for the night. And so she was like, yeah, totally down. I'm into it. Let's do it. And she said, where do you think we should play? And then I offered up some places that I had thought of that we could play, but I actually haven't played at those places. It's kind of like up to me to figure out if we can play there. And she didn't really offer up anything. I said, what about you? And she didn't really offer up any places. And so I thought, okay, well, you know, I'm just going to have to go out on a limb, and I'm going to have to try to contact these restaurants and see if I can get us a gig there. So the next couple of days, and she had mentioned, oh, I haven't really been performing lately, so I don't really know. So the next couple of days, I had seen her post like two shows in a row at other gigs, at other venues. And I was just like, what the hell? You know, I thought she would try to help out and try to get us a gig somewhere. And here she is playing shows. And then I see on her, I looked at her Facebook and it was like, oh, she had this show and she had that show and she had, and so I was instantly kind of jealous that she had been getting all these gigs. And I also noticed some, like, it was right at that time, the universe placed some other things on my Facebook news feed from other musicians who are getting gigs lately. And so, of course, this comparison is totally threatening my ego. And I'm like, ah, I'm so jealous of these people who it just seems like these gigs are falling in their lap, you know. And I was a little confused that this girl said she hadn't been performing, and yet she's got all these gigs booked, and she's posting about them on Facebook. So I kind of like let the jealousy and the comparison get to me for maybe an afternoon. The next day, I looked into it, and all those gigs she had posted were from one venue. They were the same venue. And it was like, okay, once you have one venue, it's kind of easy to play there again, and I know that for sure. And then it clicked for me that I made a lot of assumptions about, you know, her experience and how she's been performing when I don't really know all of that, how it all came to fruition, how she feels about it. Maybe she doesn't even feel comfortable at those places. That's why she didn't offer it up. And I made a lot of assumptions that led to me feeling jealous. And then I realized that the universe hand-tailored this experience for me so that I would look at my own issue of, you know, having the balls to go out and get a venue and then realizing that no other artist has it super easy and there's no point in feeling jealous of anyone else. So it occurred to me that that experience of seeing her in that light was just a mirror to reflect back to me my own issue, and that it wasn't even a reality the way I pictured it. Like, my imagination had a lot to do with that experience and thinking that it was a certain way. And in reality, it may not be that way at all. This is all just in my head. I've created a picture for myself that makes me jealous. And again, it's the universe showing me a mirror so that I can see myself more clearly and see where I am working on issues and where I'm working on self-love and being confident in myself. So that just like,
wow. Yeah, that is really, that's a great insight that you had about that. Because it was occurring to me that sometimes, like, my jealousy seems twofold. Like, I have two opposite ends of the spectrum. Like, on the one hand, my ego is saying, wait a minute, they don't deserve to have that. Like, that author doesn't deserve to be a New York Times bestseller. The book wasn't that good. I deserve that. I'm entitled to that. But on the other hand, at the same time, I'm feeling like, no, actually, my book completely sucks. I'm a terrible writer. It's awful. It's the worst book that was ever made. I don't deserve anything. And so it's kind of crazy making because we sometimes feel both of those things. We have this overinflated part of our ego that's all entitled and wants a great reward, but yet a low self-esteem part of us that is really feeling scared that I'm not good enough. I'm actually not good enough for what I'm trying to do. I don't actually have the skills. I can't actually accomplish what I came here to the planet to do.
Right. And it's just interesting that, like, whatever's going on around us is honestly fabricated for the purpose of us growing, because in our heads it's an entirely new reality. Like, we have a reality inside of our brains that nobody else experiences, and it's all tailored and handcrafted to help us grow personally, spiritually. So I mean, we just had a conversation yesterday, Mom, where we had both been in a conversation with someone else, and we remembered the conversation going completely differently. Like, you interpreted something out of the conversation that I completely didn't. I didn't hear that at all. And we were sitting there talking to the same person and heard the same person say the same thing, and yet our realities completely shifted in terms of how we perceived it. So it's just like, when you feel triggered by a situation and you feel that, oh my God, like, I feel threatened, I feel nervous, I feel criticized, or I feel jealous, it's really just a trigger to cue you in, hey, this is you fabricating this picture so that you can see yourself more clearly, because the same situation may not make you jealous in the future because you've worked on it.
Yeah, so true. And I was thinking how, you know, generally in our society, I see people all the time who are jealous of lots of things, other people's accomplishments, but also other people's wealth or what they own, you know, and I witness a lot of that around me, people being jealous and wishing that they had what other people have. But I think that's also a misperception. I think that is looking at someone superficially from the outside and imagining that somehow because that person has a fancy car that they're happy and their life is perfect and wonderful, and me, I have these problems I deal with, but everything must be great for them. And it's because we're not able to see more deeply. We're just looking at it through our own eyes, and like you said, it's really a mirror that's reflecting back to us how small we feel within ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. And we've talked before about comparing your suffering to other people is honestly not worth it. Like I've known people who say, oh, that person's never been through anything because they weren't abused, or they didn't lose their parent as a child, or they've never been poor, so they've never been through anything because they didn't have a massive loss like I did, so they don't understand. But we've always said, you know what? Suffering is so relative that you simply cannot compare, and you don't know what that person's been through. They may not have experienced external suffering the way you have and circumstantial, you know, suffering, but they may experience more suffering than you do on a daily basis in their own fear of being who they are, or in losing what they have, or in just not believing that they're enough. So I think it's really important to not compare your suffering to someone else. I simply do not know.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And that's something I was able to learn in my career as a doctor, because, you know, sitting one-on-one with patients in the exam room, you get to hear people's stories of their lives. And so I got to see people that are, you know, a lot of my patients who were the envy of so many people because they had achieved so much success, but I got to actually hear them talk about what life was like for them. And so that's where that really opened my eyes to the fact that every one of us suffers. Like, that is life on planet Earth. This is a tough place to live and grow up. You know, it's a tough place to be, and everyone has suffering of some sort or another in their lives. And so I learned from hearing all those stories that I should never judge from the outside another person and assume that they haven't had pain in their life, or that they wouldn't understand pain or be able to relate to it.
Yeah, exactly. That reminds me of a song I just wrote called In Another Life. And we can post a link to the YouTube video for that song in our show notes so you guys can see the video and hear the song. But I wrote a song called In Another Life, which I believe in reincarnation. And so I believe that we have lived many, many lives. And that if there's something that you wish you could experience in this lifetime, like maybe you wish you were taller, maybe you wish you were skinnier, maybe you wish you had a different skin color, or you had a different childhood or a different family or a different career that, you know, you can't achieve in this life. I want to remind you that it's okay to let it go, because you have lived that in another life. You have had that in another life, or you will in your next life. And so it's important to honor and respect that which we have in this life, because we specifically chose it, so that we could learn and grow from exactly what we have. You came here with exactly what you're meant to have and exactly what you're meant to learn from. So my song is just about how you can let go of all those things that you wish you could change that you can't in your life, because in another life, you've already done it. And so if you want to listen to that song, check out our show notes, and we'll put the video on there.
Yeah, I love that song, and I love the idea behind it. I mean, I love the message of it, that stop for just one moment and think about what you're doing, you're actually, by being jealous or by wishing for something else, you're actually kind of throwing away all the beautiful treasures of this life that you have right now. You're failing to appreciate everything that life is giving you right now in this moment. And as soon as you can just turn your thinking around a little bit and recognize, right here, right now, in this place, I have so many blessings. There's so many amazing things happening that I really don't want any other life. I want this. I want what I have in this moment.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a calling to go deeper within yourself and find out what you can be grateful for and what you can let go of and what it is you're working on. So do you think that comparison is something that we could refrain from doing, or is it just kind of like a natural human thing that we have to learn how to deal with?
Well, I have to say, based on my experience of all these years, I sort of think it's a natural human thing. I think it's a natural ego thing. And it kind of makes sense if you think of our ego as this primitive part of ourselves that's really there to protect us and keep us safe. And it makes sense that the ego is really good of sizing up the situation and measuring, like, okay, who's stronger? Who has more assets? Because the ego is there for protection. So the ego is constantly looking out around us to see, is someone else out there a threat? And do I need to be prepared? Do I need to, you know, how do I need to defend myself? And what will that take? And I mean, that's a simplistic way of looking at the ego's function from caveman days. But in a way, it seems like that is part of what the ego does for us. It helps assess situations to see if there's a threat. But the ego overreacts most of the time and sees potential threat and when there isn't a threat there. But I think maybe that the tendency to make those comparisons and to analyze and judge, I think that's a normal function for the ego. So I think we're going to have to learn that those feelings will always be there. The thoughts will probably always come up. Then we just have to figure out how we can recognize it and then rise above it as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I agree. And we can take it back again to the garden view and the galaxy view. For anybody who hasn't read my mom's book, she eloquently describes these two perspectives of the garden view, which is kind of your ego's view of just like life on Earth and all of the challenges. And then the galaxy view is like your soul's perspective from a higher perspective of like how everything fits together and everything has its place. And I think the garden view, the ego is always going to have these comparisons because it's logic. It's kind of just how the brain works, how the mind works. But I think in order to rise above that, step into the galaxy view and think of how your soul would see the situation. Your soul would see the situation like God would. Like I could picture it as like you are not only a third party perspective, so you kind of take yourself out of the equation. You see it from a higher perspective as if you are God looking down on this, and it's like, you start to notice other people's accomplishments and think, wow, like what a beautiful creature. Like what an amazing specimen. I'm so honored that I get to know this person, or I get to watch them perform their music or something like that and connect with them. Instead of seeing it as I am less than this person, I am smaller. You start to see them, you know, from the galaxy perspective, you start to just, you are in awe of how special every being is, including yourself. So I'm hoping I could maybe get to that point. I don't know.
Well, I know that's exactly what I was going to say. I try to utilize the galaxy view as quickly as possible to get to a higher view of the situation. And like with the doctor I was jealous of, whose book became a New York Times bestseller, what I came to conclude is I'm on my path. I have my path. My book has its path. I'm learning what I'm meant to learn. My book is going wherever it's meant to go. And that's perfect. I wouldn't want it to be any other way. And my path is different than someone else's path. And he's on his path with his book. And that's also perfect. And it's just fine. And my path doesn't have to look like his. I can celebrate the uniqueness of the path that I'm on. And and make the most of this path, what's here for me and what I need to learn and what I need to look at. So you're so right. The galaxy view is what helps me to get that higher perspective and just get out of the ego's pain and jealousy. I think that in some ways our society sets us up for comparison as well, because I'm thinking about at least what I remember from school days, you know, when you get grades on tests. I especially remember this in college, of they would publish lists of names and in order of who got the highest score on the test, you know. So like our society is all about measuring and scores and numbers. And so I think that it also contributes to our tendency to compare ourselves to others and feel less than, as you said, because that's what our entire society does. That's kind of what it's based on.
Yeah, we really have to fight the social norms around us and like the way that other people think and the way that we process things. And it's a choice you have to make. Like, am I willing to see everyone as a community member and a friend instead of an enemy and a competitor? Like, I come across that a lot in the music industry, because like music should be something that we collaborate on. It's fun. It's joyful. We share it together. And the more music, the better. The more good musicians, the better. And like, why don't we collaborate? Why don't we songwrite together? Why don't we have shows together? And a lot of musicians compete with each other. And I mean, I've seen that. And it's almost like when I asked this girl, do you know of any gigs where we could perform together? She wasn't really willing to help out and offer anything, even though she definitely has been performing places. And yet I'm here trying to help both of us out. I'm trying to help us get a gig together. So it's interesting how we feel the sense of lack that causes us to compete with others, when really I think we can trust that there's enough to go around. Everyone has their own special place and their own special path, and we don't need to worry about other people being better than us. We are our unique selves, and we have a special role to play. And if we can just trust that, then there's room for everybody, and we don't have to feel jealous. We don't have to feel threatened by other people. We can work together. We can celebrate other people's success. I think that's so huge.
Yeah, and it makes me remember that quote. I don't know if I'll get this right, but it's something about when you put more water into the lake, every boat floats higher. You know, every boat raises up when you add water to the lake. And so the idea is you can add water to the lake because you want your own boat to raise higher. But if you view it that actually we're all in this lake together, so let's elevate everyone. And what I do, I don't mind if it serves everyone and if everyone else gets a boost out of what I do. And if everyone else that I used to see as a competitor, if they actually do better and things go better for them because of whatever I'm contributing, that's fantastic. That's ideal, that we're all helping each other to stay afloat and to all become the best that we can be.
Yep. It's the same as the law of abundance, which says that basically whatever you give freely with generosity and gratitude comes back to you tenfold. And if you're too afraid to give away anything, to give your love, to give your money, to give your help, to give your effort, then you instill in yourself a belief in lack, and then nothing comes to you. There's no flow for anything to return to you, for any abundance to return, because you haven't been free enough and abundant enough to give it away. So I think the more you help other people and the more you're willing to share in your good fortune with other people, the more it comes back to you, and you really have to trust that.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And then when we're caught up in jealousy, we're much more likely to hoard what we have and to not want to share and not let anyone see what we have, because they might try to take it away or, you know, try to compete. And that's exactly the wrong direction to go. That takes us exactly away from being abundant.
Yeah. So I think maybe a good takeaway from this conversation is, like, when you see yourself being triggered by someone else and it makes you feel jealous and it makes you feel threatened and you're comparing yourself to others, just remember, this is an opportunity for you to look in the mirror and say, how could I love myself more? How could I be more proud of all the things that I do and trust myself and trust in my abundance, trust in my path that there's room for you. There's room for you on the planet and your path is going just as planned. And so you can afford to feel happy for others. You can afford to celebrate others' success. And you can trust that you are good enough.
Exactly. And as far as for working on healing, just understand that there's a part of you that doesn't know that you're good enough, that doesn't believe that, and that's the at the root of the jealousy. And therefore, you can just love that part and nurture that part and even recognize it may be a long time before I know through and through my being that I am good enough and that I do have enough to offer. But all I can do is just love that part of me right now that's a little scared and feeling inadequate. And I think that's the best way to work on the healing. Get the galaxy view and then, as you said, keep loving yourself.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to see yourself, to see that small part of yourself and bring it into the light. I think a lot of us, when we sense that that part of us is there, we want to deny it and say like, oh, no, I'm not jealous. I'm not comparing myself to anyone. I don't need to do that. It's okay to admit it. It's okay to admit, yeah, I'm freaking jealous of this person. And yet I see that part of myself and I nurture it with my love, and the higher part of me that sees the whole picture is here for the smaller part of me that doesn't get it. And so you become your own support through that process. And by being willing to look at it, you're able to heal it.
Exactly. And then you move on from there and you keep being willing to put yourself out there. You keep being willing to be vulnerable and being willing to take risks, knowing that, well, I might feel hurt again. I might feel jealous again. I might run into somebody else who's better than me or who has something I don't have, but I'm willing to take that risk. I'm going to keep putting my message out there and keep giving the world what I have within me to share.
Yeah, in fact, you can know for certain that you're going to come across more people to be jealous of until you've healed the entire issue, which is believing that you're enough and believing that you have a place in this world. And so it's going to be a kind of a constant cycle through finding more people to be jealous of until you're really willing to honor that and own it. And then I think perhaps it hopefully it decreases.
Yeah. Well, I have to admire you for having the courage like to invite another singer-songwriter to perform with you, because that for me, when I even hear about it, that sounds a little vulnerable and a little scary to me that I would fall apart just like I fell apart in my interview, you know, that I'd fall apart because of feeling inadequate. So I really admire you.
Yeah.
You have the confidence to do that.
Well, what's interesting about that is, I'll have to be honest, part of the reason why I reached out to her is because I knew she had gotten gigs. And so I thought maybe she'll help me out. If I ask her if we can do a show together, maybe she'll have a place where she has a connection and we can do some shows together. And when she didn't offer that up, it returned my awareness back to me and my issue of being afraid to reach out to places and try to get gigs myself. So as much as I try to take advantage of maybe the situation and her helpfulness, the universe pointed me right back to the issue, which is with or without her, with or without another artist to play with, you are going to have to put yourself out there and try to get some gigs and contact some people. So that was my lesson of like, oh, okay, this is still my thing. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good phrase to remember. This is actually my thing. This is actually just me, and I need to keep working on me. This is my path. This is the same old thing, the same thing I've seen over and over again. So more work
to
do.
And you know what? I'm happy to help her out, and I'm happy to help her get another place to play music, because I do believe that in the long run, that good fortune will return to me, you know, whether from her or from some other artist or from some other source.
Yeah, and that is definitely an abundance mindset, you know, to trust that and believe that.
Yep, I think we have to. We got to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, wow. I'm not going to compare myself with you with how good you're doing at overcoming your own jealousy, because I'm just on my own path trying to overcome my own jealousy. So
exactly. I'm just a good mirror for you, and you're a good one for me.
Yeah, we are. That's a great thing, actually, that the people in our lives that we love do a wonderful service for us by being a mirror and helping us see ourselves and see where our wounds are and what we need to work on.
Exactly. And that really is the galaxy perspective, where you can feel grateful for those who challenge you because you know how much they're helping you grow.
Yeah. So thanks, Gia, for helping me grow. And then thanks also for supporting me during those times when I'm falling apart a little bit, because it really helps to have somebody else who reminds you, you know what? You're awesome and you're on your path.
Yeah.
And you're doing a great job. It's really helpful.
Yeah. Likewise, Mom, I always appreciate your support and helping, you know, remind me to step on out of the garden, check out the galaxy view, and like see if you can, you know, take a deep breath and kind of and get out of your ego a little bit. So it's always helpful.
And that's really the whole point of us sharing some of these stories on this podcast, is as a way to reach out to other people out there, you who are listening to us, to say, you know what? We all go through pretty much the same kind of challenges, and we're there too. And so we're willing to share with you our struggles and how we rise above them and how sometimes we don't. And we hope that you find that helpful, and that we can in some way be a mirror for you too, so that you can remember to love yourself and keep growing.
Yes, and we celebrate your success. Thanks for listening, guys, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, be sure to check out our show notes at itsjustlifepodcast.com. This is episode number 9. And go to iTunes, if you will, to our podcast page there, and leave a review for us if you enjoy this podcast, so that iTunes will start showing it to more people. So we really appreciate you for being our listeners and for tuning in with us. And we'll see you again next week. Check us out every Friday. Goodbye.
Much love. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to It's Just Life podcast. Be sure to tune in to our weekly episodes, share them with your friends, and leave us a comment. Until next time, remember, it's just life.